Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Bernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
I want to start in the beginning. I want to start with a proper foundation. I want to start by you understanding the price that was paid. One, for your salvation. Two, to keep your salvation. Please, let me repeat it because I'm positive you missed it. One, that you could gain your salvation. Two, that you could keep your salvation. Now, if you listen to me, and if you study along with me, you're going to see some things that you have never saw in the Word of God before. You're going to think it's a new book. You're going to think like that church out in Reno, it's not time for entertainment, it's time for study. It's time to see what God has to say about it. And there is a great deal that the Lord has to say about it. I heard somebody say the other day, you know, there's no description of what Jesus looked like physically in the Scriptures. And as I walked by him, I said, have you ever read them? And he said, read what? I said, the Scriptures. The ones you say don't have any description of Jesus, it's page after page of physical description of Jesus. You ought to try reading it someday. You'd be amazed what's in there. And that's what I'd like to share with you tonight. And if, like I say, if I don't get it all finished tonight, we'll finish the rest of it tomorrow night, whenever we can. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 2. For those of you who have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. And for those of you who don't have your Bible with you, I want to meet you at the back door after the service. And I want you to tell me why you would go to church without a Bible. Don't believe what I tell you. Don't believe what anybody tells you. Don't believe what any man tells you. Don't believe what any woman tells you. Read it for yourself. And read the verse before it and the verse after it. Make sure it's in proper context that it belongs there. Do you know that I can prove to you from the Word of Scripture, I can prove it to you, it's there, that I should go out this afternoon and get drunk. It's in there. I can prove it to you. I can show it to you. I got to take a couple of Scripture out of context. Got to twist them a little bit, but it's there. They do it with tithing every Sunday. Nobody pays any attention to that. There is no New Testament Scripture on tithing. But they got people doing it every Sunday. Tithing, by the way, was supposed to be done with produce. This Sunday, when you go to church, bring in 2 pounds of carrots, 2 bags of lettuce, and a 10-pound bag of potatoes. And pay your tithing scripturally or not at all. And if the pastor asks you what you're doing, tell them, say, I'm following the Word of God. What are you doing? And then ask them to show you one New Testament scripture on tithing. Then send it to me and I'll publicly repent. Because it ain't there. I spent 35 years studying. I haven't found it yet. Talk to you for 45 minutes on faith, and then spend the next 15 minutes telling you the church is going down the tubes and we're not going to make it unless you give us all your money. There's a problem there. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13, the Word of God says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off and made nigh by the blood of Christ." You were a long ways away. I was a long ways away. I had broken every commandment God had ever made. I was involved in white slavery, narcotics addiction. I was an alcoholic, extortion, blackmail, you name it, and I was involved in it. And those were my good points. I was evil, but I wasn't stupid. I stumbled into a church one night, and I do mean stumbled, and the man was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I was 35 years old. I had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I knew his name. I used it all the time. But I had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the man kept saying, "I don't care who you've been sleeping with, I don't care where you've been, Jesus will set you free." Well, like I said, I was evil, but I wasn't stupid. They had warrants out for my arrest. I was $85,000 in debt. Well, that night when that prayer meeting finished, they said, "If anybody wants to pray and ask Jesus to come into your life, you can step in the back room and pray with us." So I went in the back room and I prayed with them. Now, at that time, I had an $800 a week habit. That was 35 years ago, so I suppose today that's probably in the market of, $15,000-$20,000 a week. I couldn't go over 4 hours without putting something in my veins. But I got in that back room and I knelt down and I said, "Jesus, if you're out there," because I wasn't even sure he was, "but if you're out there and you're what this man says you are, and you do set people free, if you'll come and set me free, if you'll get me out of all the trouble I got myself into, I'll serve you the rest of my life. I'll go to wherever you tell me to go. I'll do whatever you tell me to do." I prayed for about 2 hours, seemed like about 2 minutes. And the man came and tapped me, and just about everybody else had left. And my wife pulled on my arm and she said, "Honey, did you notice the look on those people's faces?" And I said, "Yeah, I sure did, because I looked at just about all of them." She said, "Well, what was that?" And I said, "I really don't know, but I tell you this, it's something a whole lot better than war smoking." And I got up and I left that place, and I was outside getting ready to get into my car before I realized that I no longer needed any junk. I no longer needed anything in my veins. For the first time in more years than I could remember, I was free. For the first time in more years than I could remember, I didn't hate anybody. For the first time in more years than I could remember, I got in that car, took off my jacket, took off my shoulder holster, threw it in the trunk, and I've never put it back on since. But that's how my life was prior to that night. I didn't even suffer a headache. Nothing. Now, I'm not saying it's this way for everybody, and that everybody that gets saved does so the way I did. It just so happened that Jesus chose to do it that way with me. He doesn't give you any more than you could take. I was at a place where I couldn't take any more. I could not come off of it myself. That was an impossibility. So Jesus had to take me off of it, and he did. I was $85,000 in debt. 6 months later, I was debt-free, and I had never paid a penny. But before I get off, and I get off too far, let me get back to what we're talking about, because the price that was paid to set you free, you need to understand, because once you understand it, whether it's tonight, tomorrow night, or the night after, once you understand it, you will never, ever again live like you're living tonight. I guarantee you that. You'll never live the same way you are tonight or today, whenever you're seeing this. You will never live the same way again. Everything in your life is going to change. It's going to change whether you want it to or not. Whether you want it to or not, it's going to change. You know why? Because whether you accept it or not don't make any difference. I'm going to sow some seed, and some of them are going to sink in. Some of them are going to take root. Some of them are going to make a difference in your life. And you're going to be different than you ever were before. It could be in one or two areas, it could be in a lot of them. But it's going to change. Again, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 19 and 20. It's very, very important that you hear what I'm reading, because you have to bring it into remembrance in a little while. The Word of God says, know what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You have been bought for a price. You don't belong to you anymore. You don't have the authority to do the things you want to do anymore. You don't belong to you anymore. Not up to you when you get sick. It's not up to you when you get well. That's up to God. The divine health people go crazy when they hear that one. But I want to show you some things from the Word of God. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. The Word of God says, for Christ also has suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. He's once suffered for sins, once. He did that for a reason. And I got to get to this as quick as I can and try and get it done. Let us go to Psalm No, let us go to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. And in Isaiah 52, I want to begin. Let me see here. Excuse me, I want to find out exactly what scripture. I'll begin with verse 13. Isaiah 52 in verse 13. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished thee, his visage or his appearance, the way he looked, was so marred, so disfigured, more than any man, at his form more than the sons of any men, literally, that had ever been upon this earth. So shall he sprinkle many nations, and the kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who has believed our report, and unto whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Talking about Jesus, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him." I want to read that to you again, because you read it and you don't hear it. "He has no form nor comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we shall desire him." Just quickly, I want to point out what that means. It means you are not going to look upon Jesus and say, "Look at that dude. Boy, would I like to have that jaw, or would I like to have that hairdo? Would I like to have that nose? Would I like to look the way he does?" No, the Word of God says you'll say, "Thank God I don't look the way he does. There ain't nothing about him that I would want. I don't want to look like him. I don't want to look anything like him. Because he's not what I would call handsome. He ain't even good looking." That's what it says about Jesus. There is nothing about him that you would want. You start to study the Word of God, you find a lot of things that really surprise you. That there is just nothing there that you would want. But I want to show you one that's really interesting. Let us go to Psalm 22. Psalm 22, and to me, is one of the most interesting of all of the Psalms. Psalm 22 is a Psalm to me that it's even hard to read. Because I almost want to cry when I read it. This is Jesus. "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus is crying out. "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? My God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. and in the night season, and I am not silent. But thou art holy. Oh, that thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. And jump down to verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and I am despised. I am despised by all of the people. Listen to this. And all that see me laugh at me. They scorn. They shoot out the lip. And they shake their head. To shoot out the lip means to make derogatory statements. Things that we could not repeat. And they yelled at him and they said, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him now, seeing that he delighted in him. Yeah, let God do something now. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope, and when I was upon my mother's breast, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bowls, speaking of demons, have encompassed and surrounded me. Strong bowls of Bashan have beset me. They have gaped me with their mouths, as a ravaging and a roaring lion. And I am being poured out like water, and all of my bones are out of joint. Listen to that. My bones are out of joint. My heart is like unto wax, and it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth unto my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of the earth. For dogs have surrounded me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and they stare upon me. Listen to this. They part my garments among them. They cast lots upon my vesture. Be thou not far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Hasten thee unto me. Deliver my soul from the sword. My darling, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. And I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. I want to jump down to 25. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. Verse 28. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Verse 31. They shall come and they shall declare his righteousness unto a people that are yet to be born. And he has done this. But unto a people yet to be born shall they come and declare this.
Hey. And now some previews from Pastor Bernier's next program.
These people, they are the Israelites, the Jews, the Jewish people. They are the people who live here. But the country, Jerusalem, Israel, although they live there, it's not governed by them. It's governed by the Jews, by the Romans. I'm sorry, by the Romans. For the Romans are the military might. They are the ones who rule the land. They are the ones who enforce the laws. They are the ones who say what's right and what's wrong. Now tonight, today, I'd like you to go with me back to Jerusalem. As I said, everything about this trial is illegal. The very first thing. As here in the United States, we would publish in the paper that a trial is being held. So-and-so has been arrested for drunken driving. And a trial is going to be held on the 17th. Well, of course, they didn't have the local newspaper and the local television and the local radio. So what they had were called town criers. Now, to begin with, it was against the Jewish law, it was against their law to have a trial at night. This trial was held at night. Violation number one. Violation number two, in order for everybody to be heard in the defense to have their witnesses there, the town criers were supposed to go out and find out if anybody knew anything about this. They would give the information to the town criers and they would send them out. And they would go to the street corners and it would sound something like this. They would go to the street corners and they would yell out and they would say, "Does anyone know anything about this man named Jesus? Anybody know anything about Jesus of Nazareth? Jesus of Nazareth."
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next time for the alarm call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.